Well, we've met Jamron already, and it is Jamron Paul. That's the correct pronunciation. It's not Cameron. It's not Shamron. He's not a shaman. And so I think we all have a real sense of knowing who he is. He doesn't need an introduction now. Jamron, he's such a good brother, and we're just thankful for your experiences, Christ in your life, and here we are, looking forward to all the rest of the material you have for us. Great.
Thank you, Bob, for your gracious brother, because, and I know Bob knows that, so I need time to do it. Okay, well, thank you for all coming and to this session, and I have a handout, and thanks, Bob, for helping me to be my host, brother. And the handout was completely filled out. You don't need to, I don't need any blank. So, right, so you can take it and feel free to make copy for your friend and share. This is one of the most powerful things in my life as a follower of Christ that I never done any like thoroughly outline about suffering. This is the first time. But I do preaching and teaching and sharing testimony, but I never done an outline like this. But I am very hopeful that it will be helpful to you. And also, you feel free to ask me any question. Just raise your hand. I will stop right away. Okay, because I think that we have full freedom in America, right, to ask questions. Right, good. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this hour as we come before you with thanksgiving and praise, O God, because of who you are, because of what you have done, and because of what you will be doing great thing amidst us. Thank you, O God, for these dear brothers and sisters, for our brothers who put this sound system together, and First Press family, Lord, that who planned this conference. And we thank you for Bob, our host, and all the hosts, all the speakers. And we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity that we can open up your word and to learn and to live and to love and embrace. Lord, in the midst of suffering, we can find joy and generosity because of you, Jesus. And we pray. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bible, if you don't feel bad. If you have Bible, I would encourage you to go and open it. 2 Corinthians 4, and many passages in the Bible regarding suffering, but this one is one of the very best that I love, that I was treasure always. Each moment that I gone through difficult times, I always can find this such a comfort and strength and confidence in God. But before we start, let me ask you, I have lots of questions asking you, but if you can't answer, don't feel bad. Just rejoice and listen and pass, because there's no what you call great A, B, C, or anything. Okay? Read. Yes, Bible. Yes, please. Yes, yes. Please bring that. I appreciate it, sister. Yes, bring so everyone can have it, and then we can follow along. Well,
This is a middle school room, so I knew that there was. Yes, I. Anyone of you who already found that place, please read that out loud so we all can hear it. Go ahead, sis. Yes, you go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Therefore, not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Thank you. This is the word of the Lord, right? Amen?
Amen.
Yes, and look at the title. Is there anything that you wonder about the title, Shaped by Suffering? How many of you ever wonder, just raise your question, just honest. How many of you wonder about this, the topic, the title, Shaped by Suffering? What does it mean to man? You can ask me that. I will tell you everything I know, everything that the Lord taught me. I can humbly say to you that I am not an expert about suffering, but I am just the one that as a person wretched and broken and experiencing suffering, that's it, and then declare God's goodness and glory to you as a testimony. But whatever I learned about suffering that Jesus allowed me going through that, I just want to share with you from my heart so that you can be encouraged, so you can be edified, so you can be grow, you know, and encounter whatever situation that you come to you. You can say, I'm ready. Now, the word shaped, it is similar to the word sharpened, right? You agree, say amen? Even though the spell difference, you know, I'm not an English teacher, but I keep learning English. Because when I prepare my sermon, I prepare both languages. I preach every Sunday to Cambodian folks. At First Covenant, we have every first Sunday, because we were part of the same family, so we try to connect with our whole body. So every first Sunday, Cambodian whole group, about over 100 people, join worship and for communion. So the last Sunday, so I preach in Cambodian with a Cambodian small group, about 35 people every Sunday. The word shaped in Cambodia is that, remember when you use knife, the longer you use your knife, the longer it no longer sharp. So, and then you need to sharpen the knife in order it can be used. In Ecclesiastes, somewhere among the 12 chapters of the book of Solomon, he wrote in one place, he said that if the axe were dulled, it required more strength to chop and cut. But if the axe was so sharpened, it required less strength. Can you agree, say amen?
Amen.
It's so true. It's so true. So if our knife was sharp, and it doesn't require a lot of strength. Remember when we try to cut bread, and the bread kind of a little older, almost expired, really like this. But the bread was so sharp, it just put like this and go slice by slice. So, and the word shaped by suffering is similar meaning. And our lives can be shaped by suffering to become a person that God desires to be. You know, you might wonder, when we give our life to Christ, who is Jesus to you and to me? Can you tell that? Now, example, like, this is my life. I give this life to Jesus. Does it belong to me anymore?
No.
It belongs to Jesus. So that means Jesus owned this life. I owe him my life. There's nothing that I can do in my whole life to repay his goodness done for me. But only the broken lives and heart accepted by his grace say, here I am, Lord, that use me. That's all I can say. So let me, Lord, or master, or supervisor, or boss, when you give your life to Christ, the moment you give your life to Christ Jesus, as your Lord.
Sorry, brother. As your Lord.
Yeah, when the moment you give your life to Christ Jesus, that means is no longer yours. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Anything I share with you, you can write down scripture in it somewhere, okay? In Galatians 2:20, when Paul said that, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I am no longer me. The life that I live is I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and laid down his life for me. He said that no longer me, no longer Paul the apostle, it's Jesus, it's Christ in me. See, the trouble in this day among some of us, including me too, as a follower of Christ, when we don't recognize and acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of our life, the Lord of everything that we have, problem always start. Fighting, keep fighting with God. You know, I'm sure you might have experiencing, or maybe your friend experiencing this. Why people keep changing job? Why so fast? They might have problem with the boss, right? I have friends, you know, they thought they know more than the boss. That's why they keep changing job. He keep changing job from time to time. I think that we need to submit ourselves. The same thing if you and I want our life to be shaped, to become more like Jesus. Remember Romans 8:28 and 29 say that? You know, a few years when I was in refugee camp, I studied that verse. I missed one verse. I studied only Romans 8:28 say that. And we know that in all things, God worked together for the good of those who love him according to whom he called, according to his purpose. But I missed out the verse 29. I don't go on. It's an important part. But when I came to America, I studied deeply and dearly and thoroughly and thoughtfully and prayerfully. I realized that I missed the big one. It's 29. Go on that. For those whoever that God foreknows and he predestined that to be what conformed to the likeness of his son Jesus. Amen? That means that's what is about shaped by suffering. Whatever happened to you and me along the line from here to heaven, from this world to the world to come with Jesus, he continued to shape us by using all the pain, all the suffering, all the difficulties, all the things that we don't like it to experience to shape us, to mold us, to make us more like Jesus, his son. Amen. And another verse, Paul already said that, you know, I want to become more like Jesus in his death. Let me give you the scripture verse. Philippians 3:10, Paul said that Paul had a passionate heart for Jesus Christ. He said that, I want to know Christ, and I want to know his power of his resurrection, and I want to have a fellowship in his suffering and become like him in death. Do you understand that word? It's so hard to understand. But when you study it thoroughly, thoughtfully, and prayerfully, and God will open up your eyes and your heart, and you can see that, what does Paul mean to become like Jesus in his death? You know what I mean, right? Follow Jesus' pattern. Put your feet in Jesus' shoe. That's what he means. Now tell me, brothers and sisters, do you think it will be fair for you and me to go to heaven without going through any difficult time of suffering? And then our Savior become, before he wear the crown of glory, he wear the crown of thorn and gone through the cross and painful and torture and beaten nearly death many and by the Roman soldier. Do you think it will be fair for us to go to heaven just simple? It's not. You know, when Paul traveled on his journey and mission trip in Asia Minor, he encouraged the church in Ephesus. According to Acts 14:22, and he said that he encouraged the disciple in that city. He said that, brother, I want to encourage you. Whatever you've gone through, suffering or difficulty or persecution, you must remember this. Before we enter heaven, we must go through many suffering. Can everyone say amen? You know, I, 17 years before I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior and walked with Him, became His followers, I never gone through any experience of persecution or hardship. Never. But just one time, when I was 5 years old, as I recall, when I was 5 years old, in front of my village, as I tried to run across to the river and swim there, there was a tricycle with big brothers, four of them on the top, ran over me and knocked my head down so hard on the road. I thought I lost my life. And the scar of this size, quarter size, on my body, up until this day, we're going to be forever, until I meet Jesus. But you know what I learned about the scars? Not the scar of my grief, but it is the scar of God's goodness and grace that spare my life. That's encouraged me to go on with Jesus, not to give up. Okay? Let's go to our outline. I want each one of us at least read one sentence. Remember the highlight? Okay, begin with Brother Bob. Whatever you see, the highlight, just read it. Okay, Brother Bob, in 1:1:1. Okay, start from number one. Okay, if I want my life to be shaped, I must. Okay, go on, Brother Bob. Number one. Yes. Right, on the top. Review, yeah. Right, on the top. Yes. See, that's it. You know why Paul said, we never, never lose heart. You know, I always for, like, see, almost 3 decades, I walking with Jesus. I always use that word. Jimran, never, never, never lose heart or never, never give up. One day, I read the quote of Winston Churchill. He said the same thing. He said the same thing. Never, never, never give up. I remind myself all the times. So Paul say, if you take time, I want you to put down nearby number one. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the whole chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul described of all of his suffering. Verse 39 stripe. Was robbed by his own people, was naked, was shipwrecked, was robbed, and also beaten nearly death in Iconium in chapter 14 in the book of Acts. In Iconium city, Paul was stoned nearly death. All the disciples waiting from afar, they thought that he was died. He's gone. And then when the enemy who stoned him gone, he got up, he washed up himself, he go on and preach about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I don't think you and I have ever done that. We never gone through that. So, and then here, you and I, refuse to be bogged down by suffering. That means don't allow suffering stop you. Whatever pain you've gone through. You know, in one place in Proverbs say that I call the test of your strength. It say that in the difficult day, if you quit, that means you are so weak. Solomon says straight like that. I will give you the reference when finished. In the difficult day, when you quit, that means you are so weak. So the test of your strength is not how loud you and I say to other people, but how much do we endure the hardship? How we do respond to suffering? And many places talking about suffering, Paul said that. And then go on, A, brother, read A, 1A. Yes, God's presence and suffering. The scripture was there. I can recite to you, but find you feel free, please open that. Yes. You know, I loved about Psalms. I want to encourage you, you know, among the whole Bible, 66 books, Old and New Testament, I want you to write down something. Read again and again a book, the book of Psalm. There was 150 chapters in the book of Psalm. That real life, how the people of God gone through all kinds of suffering. They cry out to God in the deepest water, in dark day and doomsday, and the enemy will chase after them. You know, some of them, they already give up. Some of them, they want to give up. But they respond with hope in God. I love the way the psalmist put in Psalm 42. We mentioned two times, beginning of Psalm 42 and end of Psalm 42. And he said that, he reminded his soul, he said that, "Oh my soul, why you are downcast? Hope in God. God is your Savior. Hope in Him." Amen? You and I need to remind ourselves. Be sure, don't allow something to bog you down. Okay? It's not the end of the world. Remember I told you this morning? It's not the end of the world when you're going through pain. First, you need to remind yourself, you are not alone. There was billions of Christians around the world. If you have a chance, listen to KFAX every morning. There was a Christian new around the world, especially at 9 a.m. KFAX, we are now about Christians going through hardship, persecution, killing, imprisonment, all kinds of things. They've gone through what you and I never been there. Never gone through that kind of thing. So, and then there was a great cloud of witness we call the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Men and women, you know, they've been there by faith, how they've gone through, how they have experienced victory, overcome the struggle and the suffering. So, please someone read Psalm 34:18. Yeah, go ahead, sis. Amen. You know, I love this one. The Bible tells us that when we are going through all kinds of pain and suffering, the Lord always near to us. He's not very far. Even though you can't see Him, it doesn't mean He's far. Remember the galaxy? We saw the small star. It doesn't mean they're small. But because they're far from us, we can't reach them. But Jesus always near to you and me, especially when you're experiencing broken heart, brokenness. Now, there's a lot of questions I want to test you, brother, test your knowledge too. What is the last word on earth Jesus spoke and told his disciple? What is the last word that Jesus said to his disciple before he went up to heaven? Yes, that's right, brother. You know, I met many Christians. I asked the question, they say, Great Commission, baptize, teaching. Very wrong. According to Matthew 28, chapter 28, verse 20, the end of verse 20, it says that, "Lo, I am with you every day to the uttermost part of the world." Amen. Yes, verse 19, Jesus said that, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And verse 20, beginning of verse 20, said that, "And teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you." But the end of verse 20, said that, "Lo, I am with you every day to the uttermost part of the world." If Jesus said that, truly Jesus said that, how can some of Christians say that we are alone? Impossible. Now, how can we say we are alone? Wherever we go, He's all in there. He's beside us, before us, behind us, inside us, and surround us with His presence. That's why I put on here, you know, to avoid to be bogged down by suffering, you and I need to remind ourselves about God's presence with us. I want you to put down some scripture verses. It's powerful because it changed my life, it changed yours too. In Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12, when David said that, "Lord, where should I go? Even to the deepest water, the ocean, or the dark place, you already there. Even at the most darker place, I can't see, I can't move, but you always there." Amen? We need to be reminded because God's promise is so powerful, God's presence. And also remember, I want to put down another one. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Lord said that, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, thus said the Lord. Isn't that a sweet promise? Not only a sweet promise, it's a sure promise that he never leave you nor forsake you. You and I are experiencing that, right, brothers and sisters? We have all kinds of friends. You know, and better friends, true friends, and faithful friends. Or our friends just come when we have everything for them. Or when everything okay, but when we have trouble, you can't find them. But Jesus is the best friend of all. I love that word. He never leave you nor forsake you. So be reminded, brothers and sisters. And then 1b. Brother Joy, if you have your outline, read 1b, brother. Yeah. God's power in suffering. Yeah, you and I need to remind ourselves. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. You know, I always cry. In this morning, 40 minutes, I'm so grateful that Mary gave me 40 minutes. And if they gave me 5 hours, I will have all kinds of stories to tell you. You can't sleep, I can guarantee you, because the story of Jesus is so powerful in the killing field. And I want to tell you about my tears. Each time I've gone through difficulty, torture, beat nearly death, and suffering, I always crying. Even though I've been delivered by Jesus out of the hand of the enemy, I still crying. I call the tear of hurt, the tear of pain, the tear of suffering, the tear of brokenness, but it's also the tear of healing and the tear of joy, the tear of celebration because I was delivered by Jesus. Amen. So my dear friends, whenever you've gone through suffering, just be sure don't quit. Don't never quit. Don't ever quit. Never quit. Never give up. Just go on with God. Remind yourself that Jesus is always with me. If nobody with me. And remind yourself that Jesus is the most powerful God. None like him. There's no two. Only one Jesus. And I want you to put down scripture reference. In Isaiah 7:14, and I'm sorry, Isaiah 9:6, because those two passages about the messianic prophecy kind of confuse me. Isaiah 9:6, remember what Isaiah told that? Everlasting Father, that the name of Jesus, it's kind of strange to you. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah said that, His name is Everlasting Father. Can you believe that? Jesus' name is Everlasting Father. And then Almighty God. Is that said in your Bible? Be sure I say it right. Yes. Everlasting Father. This is the name of Jesus. It must be confused you, right? Now tell me, is that confused you if you take triangle, right? Triangle has three shapes. It doesn't matter how you turn. How you shape, it's still triangle with three shapes, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is mysterious about triune God, about Trinity. So beyond your comprehension, don't want to try to understand them all, okay? Leave it to God. It's mysterious. And so remember this important, okay? And verse Psalm 34:6, I remind myself all the time, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him, not some, not partially, out of all troubles and fear. And the same thing was 16, was 17. It say that the righteous cry out to the Lord, and the Lord listened to their cry, and he delivered him out of their trouble. Now, I love verse 19. You know what verse 19 say? The righteous have many affliction, many trouble, many problems, but the Lord will deliver them out all of their trouble. The word all is the key word, brother and sister. You have to remind yourself. Expect difficulty in life. Life is difficult. Don't expect an easy life. How many of you ever been sailing on the water? Yes. Have you noticed that? Let me tell you this. I like this one. It doesn't matter how big a small boat or ship, anything. As long as you put on the water, you will experiencing shaking and tossing back and forth by the water. Sooner or later. If you don't expect that, you must be surprised. Well, you shouldn't be in the water. Right? Or the dry land. You know, when you're going through, when you're walking with Jesus, if you want to be walking with the Master, you have to put your feet in the Master's shoe. That's what Paul means, I want to be coming like him in death. Let me give you the beautiful scripture verse. That the only place that Paul ever mentioned is kind of his prayer also. Colossians 1:24. I want you to go and turn on and take a look at that verse. And just meditate for a short moment. Colossians 1:24. It's one of the most powerful words that I ever seen in the life of other apostle. Colossians 1:24. Brother Bob, your phone, can you read it? Colossians 1:24. Yes, go ahead.
Now I rejoice in all my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I can plead what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church.
Amen. Can you believe what Paul said? Whatever I lack in my suffering, I want to complete them. I want to become like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus, my Master, my Savior, and my Lord. I want to become like Him. Even though it take death or life, it doesn't matter. I want to become like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. You know, the first few years when I became a follower of Christ, I never heard any teaching, people teach about how to live like Jesus. And among Cambodian Christians, a lot of misunderstood. They thought that become like Jesus, that means you become a powerful God, you know, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all kind of thing. No, it's not. When I studied the Bible, it said that whatever Jesus said, kind word, encouraging word, word of hope, strengthen people, we say the same thing. That means we live like Jesus. When Jesus loved his enemy who tortured, who beat him nearly there, who crucified him, who pierced him in the on his side, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them all because they do not know what they're doing. When we done that to those who wronged us, we live like Jesus. Can you say amen? Is that true statement? Live like Jesus doesn't mean we become more powerful like him. No. The way we live our life, the way we express our thought of caring for other brother and sister that's not like us, or maybe different color skin from us, or different cultures, or maybe different background, or maybe a different understanding. We need to learn to accept each other. That's the way that we can live like Jesus. And love people. Remember Jesus said in John 13:34-35? John 13:34-35, one of the model to live like Jesus, that means love people the way Jesus loved. He said that, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I loved you. And they will know that you are my disciple because you love one another. So Jesus didn't say that you are my disciple because you carry the big, big Bible. Or you sing louder in the church. Or you serve in the church. Or you help the poor. No, he said when you love each other the way I love you. I think it's powerful, brother and sister. It's powerful. You know, I'm thankful that God gave me grace to experience that kind of love. I know we all struggle about love of people that does not deserve our love. But if you want to make a difference, love the unlovable. That's make a difference. I always pray, Jesus, give me a heart of love for people. Just give me a heart to love people the way that you loved me. It made me simple. So I encourage you to do that. Okay? When you've gone through suffering, remember, Jesus is number one. His presence always there for you and with you, surround you, and his power was never black out, never ran out like the electricity. You can always rely on him, right? Amen? And then 1C. Brother Reed, please, 1C, Jim. God's promise.
Psalm 32:6-7.
Yes, please.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly
Yes, please. Yes, you know this is powerful. All these psalms that I put this is, I study thoroughly through experiencing God. I always treasure that psalm in my heart. Let those who fear the Lord pray and seek Him while you may be found. Seeking God doesn't mean He get lost or we need to be found. No, He's all there. But seeking God, that means that we taking our time, humble our heart to come to Him, tell Him, Lord, I need You. I can't do without You. I never make it without You, Jesus. That means seeking God. With open heart, with humble heart, tell God that. And you know, I like the way they say, when the flood, great flood come, it never overcome you. Why would someone say that? Because He is your refuge. He is your Savior. He is your song in the night. I will tell you this. Even though in China, we call Tibet, in part of northern China, even we call monsoon, you heard that, right? Chinese brothers and sisters were similar with that. And even though the raining caused great flood, it doesn't mean that 365 days always raining. At least with one day missed too. The picture is about suffering and pain. It's not always suffering, I mean, constantly without resting, no. But there was a time that God gave you grace to rest. So you can prepare yourself, continue on with God. Let me share you some story after we finish 1B. And then the rest you can read for yourself. The reason I put the full outline without blank, fill out the blank so you can take home, because I know time is limited. But it's so encouraging for you to hear God's story in the killing field. You need to hear with your own ears what God will doing in your life too. Okay? And this is God's promise. You know what? In the whole Bible, you know how many promises of God in the whole Bible? Over 7,000, brothers and sisters. Over 7,000. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22nd chapters, 66 books. You can study it thoroughly and thoughtfully and prayerfully and write it down carefully. Over 7,000. But you know what? It never missed one. Only one promise that didn't fulfill yet. His return. But Second Peter always emphasized that, you know, folk, don't be fooled by the mockers in this last day, even though Jesus said, oh, He's coming, send the day of Noah's flood. But you know what? He doesn't change His mind. And Peter, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8, 7 and 8, he emphasized that, brother, don't be fooled by the mockers. You know why? First, it's that means just only 2 days of God, right? It could be right now while we're talking and sharing. But it doesn't matter when He's coming. You and I must be ready for the Masters. We must be ready for the Masters. And then 1D, the last one, let me read for you. God's purpose in suffering. In Psalm 50:15, it's a psalm that give me purpose. How I respond. Psalm 50:15 say that, cry unto me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will be declare my praise. Does that make sense to you? The purpose that God allow you go through suffering, allow me going difficulty, painful thing, anything that we call pain in our lives, remember, He's always there for you. Just tell Him. Remember, we learned about 3 S: short, simple, and sincere. Let me emphasize those 3 words. Pray short, pray simple, pray with sincere faith and trust in God. Why pray short? God already knows. I never seen any person who try to shoot the rabbit just go around like this all the time. They point to the target. And then they shot that. They got the rabbit. So that means pray short. And then pray simple. Don't impress God with big words. You know, you and I can't impress God. And sometimes I see that some preachers, especially an American preacher who know English better than me, they use the big word, all kind of Greek that I don't understand. I don't get encouraged by Greek words, unless they translate, right? Amen? I don't criticize those preachers. I admire them. But you know, you don't impress. Like you go to speak English to the Cambodian folk who don't understand. I mean, Cambodian, what you say? What language? They don't even know what language you speak to them. Not encouraging. So speak short word and simple word and also sincere. Just trust God. And you say, God, I need job. That's it. Don't explain to God long. God, I need job. But be sure you and I go to find. Not just coward blanket all the time at home. Check internet, you know, and call a friend. Or God, please help my letter go to Boston. I send to my friend. Be sure you don't put stamp. Put stamp on. Okay, when you pray, God, put stamp, you know. Put stamp on. Otherwise, God say, okay, I will send back to you. And that's important, brother. God's purpose, you know. And when you know God's presence, God's promise, God's power, and God's purpose in your life, whenever pain and suffering gone through, you will always say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before, I don't understand. I was bogged down many times by pain and suffering. I complaining, whining, all kind of worrying, you know, and give up and point the finger and blame myself, blame circumstance, blame someone, blame my pastor, blame my friend, all kind of thing. But now I am satisfied because of you, Jesus. Amen. Now, let me tell you the second point quick, okay, and third point we don't read, okay. And refocus my life on the eternal glory. According to 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 17, 18, it says that, you know, perspective about suffering is important. Pain and suffering only temporal. You must remember this. Compared to eternity, incomparable. Compared to the glory to come, it's amazing. Whenever you're going through it, just a very short moment. Paul said a short moment. Otherwise, Paul gave up everything, you know, and not following Jesus anymore. But he know that. That's called perspective. And not only that, one B, pursuing God and his kingdom and glory. Raise your hand like this. Just raise your hand, okay? Raise your hand. Now try to grab some air. Tell me, how much you get some? Do you get some? Nothing. You know what? In Proverbs, Paul said that in chapter 23, he said that whoever try to pursue possession, the thing of this world, like they grab air, never last long. You know, in Cambodia, before the Khmer Rouge communists took over in 1975, because we were under siege by those communist regime, well, folks. And we thank God for America who dropped food, you know, all kinds of things, and spoon and fork, made in USA. Oh, it's so precious for Cambodia. It made in different country, it's not quality, only quantity, but not last long. But made in USA was last long, was very quality. Now tell me, do you think that which one you're going to choose, going to pursue? Pursue the quantity or the quality one? For me and you, we ought to pursue the quality that lasts very long for eternity. That's why we need to pursue that. When you go through different trial and testing and pain and suffering, be sure you pursue God. Seek God first in Matthew 6:33. God's kingdom and glory, and he shall add it anything you need after that. Don't be fooled by the devil, brothers and sisters. The devil say, you know, how can you see God? Look at you, poor man. You know, for me, as a Cambodian immigrant, I came to America 27 years ago. The people who came the same time with me, they are rich. They have donut store. They drive Mercedes. And they have beautiful home. They have few home. They have got good job. For me, I am satisfied. You know why? The thing that they have is not last for eternity. And then when after they depart from this world, they're not going to take with them. They're going to leave everything here. But the thing that I have, they cannot have, they doesn't have. It's quality, it lasts forever. I do my, we call eternal investment, but they only temporal investment. So may God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be fooled by the devil. The devil tweet Matthew 6:33. Seek God first and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. That's biblical. But the devil twisted. Seek everything first and God's kingdom later. You must have heard, right? All kinds of people, Christian and non-Christian, church and unchurches. But you say, come to Jesus. Oh, let me finish this first. Let me do this first. Let me do that. And then I can go to church. I can go to do this. You know, they put God secondary. But we need to see God number one. And then God will honor you life. Okay, and then 1C, press on for the joy which lasts forever. And then God will reward you with great joy. And then go to the third one here. I want you to know the facts about suffering here. We are part of a fallen race because the sin of others. I'm talking about the sin of others. Have you ever dropped the water in the a little stone in the water? We call it the ripple effect. The ripple effect. That means in this world, the city where you and I live, if the drunkard driver hit somebody and killed people, and the premium or insurance was high, and then we were a fight too, right? We not hit people, but we are fight too because we live in the fallen race. Whatever happens around us, we are fight too. And not only that, the fact about suffering is we reap what we sow. This is the rule of God. You know, it's funny. People, they sow evil things, but they don't want to reap condemnation or judgment or punishment. Impossible, because God already set the rule. Whatever you sow, either good or bad, you will reap that. Unavoidable. It's part about suffering. That's why sometimes suffering will come from all that. And also, here, the last one here, our enemy wants us to suffer. The devil really loves for you and me as a people of God to suffer so that we can give up. So we can no longer walk with Jesus. We can disappoint God. We can get mad, angry with God, all the things. You can name it. Okay? And the third one here. And reflect on God's best for renewing me. Though our body, you know, are dying, our spirit are being renewed every day. I love this verse. Paul know that what's going on, even though everything was outside his body was trying to hurt him, make him suffer, make him give up on Christ. But he never gave up. He know that outside was corrupted, but inside his spiritual life was renewed. Do you know that is important for you to know? I want to encourage you to read this. Okay. Now, we this list behind here was a lot of good things that you and I need to read and study at home. Suffering brings spiritual benefit. How God used that to renew us. I just read quick, okay? A, suffering demonstrates God's faithfulness to me. That means whatever he say to help you, he never changes. And then B, suffering brings praise to the glory of God. Suffering keeps me humble. Remember about the iron with the wrinkled clothes? You like that picture? I love that. It keeps me humble all the times. Without the hot iron, this wrinkled clothes cannot be smooth. It has to be so hot. And you know, one day, how many of you ever bang the metal piece without burning? I did one day. Even though I already know, but I want to test it and experiment. I have mowed the lawn, and then somehow those machine was old. The one piece was bent like this, and I took it out. I had to be careful about my head. I just bang, 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 and bang. No bending, only banging, and never becoming anything. It's still bent until I took that and burn and burn and burn, and then they can bang, and then they can bend, and they can become. See that? Your life and mine, if you and I never gone through hardship, a difficult time, you and I never grow in the Lord Jesus. You and I never draw closer to Him. Have you noticed in the whole Bible, not just some and how, Jesus never said that, oh, cry unto me in the day of your rejoice. Never. Always in the day of your trouble, in the day of your affliction, in the day of your suffering, your struggle, cry out unto me. I listen, I will help you. All right? Now, here's part of my story I want to share with you some. I am sure that you will enjoy it. You know, when the communists took over in April 17, 1975, it ended January 7, 1979, with 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days. And the first persecution I experienced thus was the attempted to go and follow the former communist Khmer Rouge family, my family was loved and cared for them. So we, the first family, persecuted by those family. And they tried to kill my older brother. I have 12 brothers and sisters, and he had to run, escape from village to village. And then we all were scattered to different villages. And then for a short moment, we find, and then later on, they find out that we were, the thing is, because wrongfully accused, because we served with the Catholic priest from America. Anyone who have anything to do with American people is always be killed without questions. There's no hearing, no lawyer, no nothing, no court hearing, no chance to say anything. Just eliminate you. So 2 to 3 million was tortures and massacres, slaughter, innocent people. My father-in-law was a commander, and he was slaughtered also. They prepare all the guns and tank in the mountain. And the hundreds of truck, GMC, remember the soldier truck, just drove to that place. And then the moment those people from the truck was jumped down, they killed them all with bloodshed all over. And so here my life gone through hardship. I remember that one day I was take care of the cows in the rice field. The harvest was already ripped, the rice in the field. Was another young man, about 20 or 50 meters, and he stole the grain from the field. He got caught by the communist soldiers. And then while I stood there, just give the oxen eat grass, and he point his finger. Word is so powerful, you can destroy it, you can kill the whole family, just one word. Just say that, in the former regime, he done this, he done that, and then the communists will kill those family right away. So, and then when he pointed that finger to me, that he accused me that I was stole those rice grain, I say nothing. I just tell them, you know, I'm not. I just give the cows eat grass, that's it. And then the communist soldier caught me and bound me with the rope and took me to the village. Was many other people was on the rope. And then the communist soldier was put the chair, 1, 2, 3. They took the bamboos about this size, long, 3 of them. They, each one of the communist soldier grabbed each neck, and then they used the bamboo to beat us 20 rods. Each rod was fell off, water from the mouth. I thought I was broken all the bone because I was so skinny, and I thought I'd never been alive, but Jesus spared my life. No bone was broken. Thank God for that. And then on that night, there's no shirt, only pan. They put us in the concentration camp, and with person guard us, no mosquito nets, nothing, just bound with the rope toward the pole and sat there all overnight. And forest, you know, those mosquitoes also, and we couldn't sleep the whole night. And then I met my brother, and he's number 5, I'm number 6. I have 12 brothers and sisters. And he said, the next day at nighttime, he's going to stay with me in the same camp. in the middle of the night, so the communist soldier leaders, four or five of them, was came and kicked me, and five of them beat me to nearly death, black, bleeding, blues, and bruised. And then they, because they accused me that I let my brother escape. And then after they beat me nearly death, and then they held my four legs and hands, and then they swing me, and they threw me into flood water in the middle of the night. Because of my body was bleeding, it was so painful. Get into the water, and I know how to swim. I tried to swim back to the shore, and then crawl into the old rice sack. That's all I had. You know, 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days, that the only thing I had is two sets of clothes. How I survived the killing with two sets of clothes and with one spoon. And then when nearly the commander's coming almost end, I had only one set of clothes and with one spoon in my pocket. And then and then after they beat me nearly dead, and then I crawled into, I couldn't sleep because my whole body was shaking. And then the next morning they forced me, forced labor, and to dig the ground also to stop the flood. Because they forced and they tried to kill me, and I want to escape. So I say, God, give me strength so I can do the thing the whole morning. And they give me only small piece of rice. And it's hard because no food. And sometimes I have 3 months no rice to live. Only, you know, sweet potato? That the leaves, those leaves, only those leaves. Not even salt or sugar. So in those years, summer 1976, my little brother was just fainted and died without food. And also on the next day, I escaped. You know, it's only one way escape because flood all over the rice field. Jesus just blind the eyes of those coming to me so I can escape. The reason I escaped because I want to tell my brother don't come back, because they come, they made commitment that they will beheaded both of us if we come back. What happened is, as I escaped, and I escaped, so thank God that no one can see me. No one can see me. And then I have nothing to eat, and then there was a tamarind fruit all over the rice field. I climbed there. I have old rice pot with me. And then you know what? Jesus was so amazing. In the most horrible day, Jesus is so real, revealed himself to me. And the first time that I ever heard Jesus' voice. I ate full of the tamarind fruit. It tastes like lemon. And then I'm about to throw it away. And then Jesus told me, you know, my child, don't throw away. Just keep it. Just keep it. And he didn't say long or explanation. Just say, keep it. That's it. And then I wondered, Lord, you know, why should I keep? Because it's all over the rice field. Just keep it. Finally, I preserved those few pieces of tamarind fruit in my rice pot. And then I walked about a few kilometers to the highway. And then I met a group of people there, and I knew them. And then I about to lay down and rest. And then there was a group of people, you know, travel from the mountain, finish the mission, were planting rice. They gone back to their village. I followed them to escape to that route. Until 4 a.m. in the morning, I met three communist soldiers with three guns, with three flashlights. They got the bridge. Their light was all over me. And then when I turned around, the whole crowd, you can't believe it. The whole crowd was gone, disappeared in that moment. I came to realize it must be the host of angels that protect me. It's really dangerous to travel alone at night or at daytime. The coming soldier will know that you escaped. That's why God protect me. And then when I saw the light over me, and then I jumped into the right hand of the freeway, I put my rice pot down, and then I jumped to the old tractor nearby. I kept myself quiet. I closed my eye, but my ear was open and listening to what happened. The moment I jumped into the old trailer tractor, the three communist soldiers came to my rice pot. It's so amazing the way Jesus did. The three came to me and checked up on me. I heard their step on the old leaves. And then they came back. You know, the moment they came back, Jesus confirmed me, my child, you'll be fine. You know why? It's always the tears of joy in the middle of brokenness. One of the communist soldiers came to my rice pot. They opened my rice pot. You know, the middle pot hit each other. Cling, 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 like that, right? You know, what do they say? Tell me. Can you guess? What did they saw inside? They saw the tamarind fruit. And then they said to themselves, among themselves, oh, this young man must escape from the farmer land. That is why he had the tamarind fruit. Can you say amen? What in the world did Jesus save me from the killing by using those fruit? See that? Jesus had the purpose. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on in the next step in the future where I take. But Jesus knows what happened. He knows exactly what time I'm going to be in that bridge. He knows how many people I'm going to meet in that bridge. He knows how I'm going to run through with the three guns, you know, with the coming soldier in that night. That's why he prepared me to escape the killing. That's powerful. That I call Jesus' story. You know, I didn't record much in the book, but in my heart, my soul, and my mind, as long as I shall live, I will preserve and pass on that story of redemption to anyone that I meet. That changed my life forever. And then after I passed that, you know what happened? I escaped, and the comic soldier left me alone. I walked, passed by the comic soldier where they work in the early morning. And then another one right on the bicycle with the guns. And then the people were over there ahead of me. They cleaned up the street. And then he pointed a finger. The voice of the communist is like thunderstorm. What are you doing? Don't you go to work? You can't be hesitated. The moment you hesitate to answer them, they're gonna kill you right away. And when he asked that question, he finished. I respond, I give the porridge to my brother, God the bridge. Actually, I have no brother. I don't prepare to that speech. And he said, okay, go quick. And then I go. I'm thankful for that. And then as I reach the bridge, I can't cross the bridge. Because why? They come so they fix the railroad on the bridge. And then God used three group of people. It's so significant. That's why God gave me a heart for children, to love and care for children. And he used a little girl to provide me food. That's what the good shepherd did in Taiwan. When she saw me, because her father was fishing for the village, provide for the village, and she gave me a plate filled with rice and fish without asking her. And she said, hey, uncle, rice and fish must be the provision from the good shepherd. I say, thank you, dear. And I ate. And then she gave me a ride across the river. As I crossed the river, with death follow me all the time, but make me short. I make short to the second children that God used, a little boy. God used a little girl to provide me food, and God used a little boy to prevent me from the killing. So when I reached another village, I went to ask in the afternoon. I tried to went to ask. I always ask you. There's no mandatory in communist regime. You can only ask. Don't steal. You get caught, you can be killed. And then I asked. I'm about to go to that kitchen room. God used the boy to stop me. He didn't say anything. He just said, "Uncle, stop. Don't go there." That's it. You know, I learned in the past, but I forgot about that. You know, when God can use all kind of things to help us in time of trouble. I always do like this because I was starved to death all the time. I was so skinny and helpless and hopeless and no strength and walked very slow. And then I said, please don't stop me. I am starved to death. And the boy can't stop me. And he looked at me with pale. And I wonder, what's going on? Must be something. You know, that's why his face like that. As I passed him, about 10 meters, there was a company soldiers in that kitchen room. She used a bayonet, chopped vegetable to prepare food. And she pointed that bayonet at me. She said, where are you going? Where you come from? You are enemy, you're skinny, you're looking for food, you escape. I almost fell down and die when I heard that word, like thunderstorm. And when she saw me there, and she changed her tone. It's okay, come, I will give you food. And then I always believe her, you know, and just go because I'm starved to death. And then I wait for a few moments. She brought another two coming soldiers. You know, I was almost fell down when I saw the coming soldiers. And then they both came with a long sword, and then they grabbed me by my two shoulders, and then they threw me into the chief commander's water jar and set against them, and then each one of them was right and left guarded me. I said, I'm going to die. Inside me, I always cry, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. And what happened is, I noticed that each time, each moment, each incident of my life, each time when I cry out, Jesus, save me, there's always miracle happen. Always. Even though it take a moment, few moments, it doesn't matter. After a few moments, there was another 10 communist soldiers came to visit the two. They were on the bicycle. When they came to that two, and then they threw all the bicycle to the side, and then the two, when they saw the 10, they got up, they hugged each other, they just enjoyed their company and talking. And then the two invite the 10 to upstairs. You know what Jesus said to me? He said that, my child, you're going to be all right. I knew I was going to be delivered. Because they're waiting for the chief commander to come. They're going to execute me. So each step, the 12 went up to the second floor. My eyes looked to those steps. The last step they took, the second floor, I escaped. There was place. And you know, I was past the story before I met those comrades with bayonet. Before I reached that village, I went to the village before that, begged for food. I mean, the kind of strange, that village was one highway, one whole village, left and right have different rule and regulation. I went to the left. I say, please give me, allow me to stay, I can serve you. Just give me to stay, a place to stay. He said, no, go to the other side, ask for Mr. Room. And then the moment he said that, the Lord told me that, my child, don't stay, go. That's why I keep going. So when I face death there, the next day, only the next day, and then I come back. I remember Mr. Room. I went to Mr. Room, and I stood there. There was a woman there from afar. She saw me, and she took the empty plate, collect all kinds of food, put pile, and she ran to me. She gave me food, said, son, where are you going? Where are you from? What are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for Mr. Room. And she gave me plate. She hold this plate. And she ran and ran, and I know she's going to call Mr. Room. A few moments as I stood there, it's always tears of joy about the goodness of God provide me. And I know it's not by luck. No, it never is, only by God's grace. And then I heard the voice of a man cry out, oh, you lucky son, you lucky son, you lucky son. It's always tears of joy, you know, there's no luck. I have nothing to do with any luck. And then he came, he stood there in front of me, looked at my eyes, straight eye to eyes. Do you know why I say you're lucky, son? If you came yesterday, just one day ahead, different, you will be killed because of your escape. But because the rule of the government just changed today. Isn't that amazing? If I stay in that room, went to ask him, I'm going to be killed. It's too many stories. So I hope it will encourage you to trust in Jesus. He's the only one that you can count on, can call on, can have full confidence in him. May God richly bless you. I wish we can have another hour so we can share more story. But you feel free to talk to me. We hope we still have another day tomorrow if you'll be around. But I'll be around here, share story. I will spend time talking more. Okay? Continue on the story. And also, last one, I want to pass on. Thank you, Bob, about mission package. This mission Cambodia is so powerful. And thank you. And before we go, and this is Jessica back there. Can you raise your hand? Yeah, Jessica is one of our team members, the best team. Right? She's a photographer. You will see DVD, brother. You can play DVD. Appreciate that. And Jessica made a DVD, and her husband, Dave, and from our church covenant. And her husband was one of the best photographers, and she learned from him. So thank you. Yes, there were two packages, one full mission report about this summer, 2009, and one about 2010. If you are interested about mission to Cambodia, talk to me, and we have people who sign up, okay? You can take more and give to your friends. God has done the powerful thing in Cambodia. Okay, let's take a look at mission trip this summer. The first one. Yes, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, about mission trip June 22nd to July. Oh. After DVD, please ask me question. I still be here.